This is CNN Breaking News.
Welcome to our viewers in the United States and around the world. I'm Christine Roman.
I'm Laura Garrett in New York. Tom Roman continues our live coverage in Lviv, Ukraine. John, what's happening this morning?
Good morning to both of you. So this morning, Russian bombs still falling on Kyiv in the northern Ukrainian city of Chernihiv. This is the day after Moscow promised it would drastically reduce its assault on the two cities. Even so, Ukrainian troops do appear to be making gains near Chernihiv. This is new video. It shows a burning Russian tank and a number of Ukrainian troops in the nearby village of Slobida. This is basically a suburb attached to Chernihiv right there. And the Ukrainian troops say they are in control. Minutes ago, Ukraine says that Russia has agreed to an evacuation corridor for the besieged port city of Mariupol, which has endured weeks of intense bombardment. In the meantime, Ukraine says Russian forces may be regrouping in Belarus. They've moved north out of Ukraine into Belarus. The Pentagon said earlier about 20% of Russian forces targeting Kyiv are now repositioning, with some of them heading to Belarus. And U.S. officials are saying that Russian President Vladimir Putin is being misinformed by his advisors about how badly the Russian military is performing here in Ukraine. Joining me now, CNN's Phil Black. Phil, we're watching these military operations. The movement is 80-20% of Russian forces removed from the Kyiv area. What do you see happening?
So the broad pattern suggests, Joel, that the transition is taking place.
Talk is cheap.
We're already hearing about a major uptick in the intensity of Russia.
There's no evidence that Ukraine has made any gains or done anything to Russia whatsoever. Not any visual evidence, for sure. But there's all sorts of visual evidence that Ukraine is getting annihilated. I mean, they might have shown a Russian tank on fire or something like that. Here and there. But almost everything else has been Ukrainian damage. I don't know how they spin this. There's anything but a gigantic loss that's going to take a lot of time to fix and a lot of money and resources. No matter who runs the place.
The capital, its outskirts, all that unassisted Germany, what we hear from the ground there is that artillery strikes in particular still continue some of the damage.
And Mariupol. I want to preface this by saying we've been here before, but both the Russians and Ukrainians
Mariupol is kind of like right in between Russia and Crimea, so it's. I could see why Russia wanted to take it over or just to annihilate it.
So the hope is, because we're doing the first relatively large scale operation by Ukrainians, where they managed to get a sleeve of buses in, pick up people who are able to leave Mariupol. So far, they've been very good at success getting buses actually into Mariupol. Pick up people who have no transportation. Today they're trying to send in 45 buses. If that happens, then it could perhaps pick up a sizable number of people straight there throughout the city.
Yeah, again, we've heard this before. It hasn't worked out. It's a little different this time. The Russians are saying it, the Ukrainians are saying it, and the Ukrainians are saying the Russians have agreed to it. So there does seem to be some broad agreement on this program.
There is a sense of hope, even as you said.
All right, well, thank you very much for that. Joining me now, CNN military analyst Cedric Blake, he's a retired Air Force colonel and a former member of the Pentagon Joint Staff. Cedric, we talk about 20%, maybe, of around Kyiv repositioning, and then the idea that some of them...
The way CNN talks about Russian soldiers makes it sound like that they don't like them. They don't know what they're doing, their morale is low, 16,000 of them died, they're conscripts, they came here with uniforms to go march in a parade or something after they just easily took over everything. I've heard all these different stories about these Russian soldiers. That there's mercenaries from Libya there, if there's like other troop people,
based off of these kinds of Wagner numbers, as well as the movement of the forces possibly to the east. But of course, that's going to
and how Russia, like CNN and these people keep Fox and MSNBC the same thing. They keep saying the same stuff. and they keep showing more and more destruction, and thousands and thousands of refugees keep pouring out of the place. It doesn't add up, really. I don't know if it was right, but it said 80,000 refugees, just under 80,000, 79,900 and something, escaped the other day, and I got over 7 million total. Now, that could have been a catch-up from the last few days or something, where they had just added extra, or because it kind of jumped up there after it said like 36,000 or something. And that as a matter of approaching 4,000 or 4 million rather. 4 million refugees left the country in about 5 weeks. It looks to me like they just want to have another front over in Kiev, and they don't really care to have Kiev. They just don't want Ukraine to fight from Crimea to Donbass without having to fight elsewhere.
So, Senator, there's other titillating new piece of intelligence released by the United States, and they say Vladimir Putin is not being adequately briefed by his military leaders. They haven't given him a sense of just how badly the Russian military is doing here. We're not being told how U.S. intelligence knows that.
I'm curious, maybe they are so one-sided and so sensational, and maybe they say the things they do because they're trying to keep make people think a certain way and feel a certain way, but also keep the money flowing to these people from donors and make the donors feel like they're doing the right thing by giving the money and resources to them. I think that's the reason for this steady same propaganda from a certain
year. It means sending troops into fight battles they haven't been winning anyway. And you brought up morale. There were also reports that Russian morale is low. What impact does that have on the battlefield? And again, this far into a fight, can that be corrected?
Yeah, I tweeted them and said, well, they have a video of Ukrainian soldiers shooting Russian POWs in the leg and killing them, so maybe that's why their morale is low. But who cares? This is all a bunch of bullshit. This is what the news has become. Two old men sitting around talking about the war. How these troops are feeling right now as they kill people and take what they want in Ukraine.
Colonel Cedar Blake, CNN military analyst, I thank you very much for that discussion. I feel like I understand it much better now.
And that's the UK intel chief. Yeah, the reason that they're great at passing off propaganda because they'll just quote an expert or quote, you know, a government official or somebody like that that's got some wonky opinion or says something, and boom, they've got their out.
Releasing a record 1 million barrels of oil per day from the nation's emergency supplies. A source says this daily release could continue for several months. The president delivers remarks later today on gas prices, which have spiked since Russia invaded Ukraine. An announcement could come then. President Biden also looking at invoking the Defense Production Act this week to ramp up mining of those critical minerals you see there used to manufacture electric vehicle batteries. It would give the president emergency emergency authority to expand production of lithium, nickel, graphite, cobalt. It would be one of the Biden administration's most aggressive steps to shift the country toward electric cars and reduce U.S. reliance on foreign supply chains. If we learned anything in the past few years, the pandemic and then the war, Putin's war, has really shown how global supply chains really messed up, you know, with these geopolitical events, and the U.S. has to do more to be self-reliant.
Is the reserve, this is a simple question, but I don't know the answer. Is the reserve the kind of thing that can get replenished, or is it once it's gone, it's gone?
When oil prices are low, the U.S. buys petroleum and puts it in those, you know, they're actually like these salt caves, you know, that are so interesting, they're full of this safe for an emergency. And this is the White House saying, this is an emergency, Putin's war is an emergency partner.
Coming up for you, attack planes and suicide drones, Congress considers sending more weapons to Ukraine now. Plus, Chris Rock speaks for the first time since Will Smith slapped him at the Oscars. And a diagnosis of forcing Bruce Willis to step away from acting.
I'd be more impressed with the news if it would be like the print news and just print facts and keep it right down the middle and be unbiased. I wouldn't want people working for me or my newspaper or media outlet if they couldn't be unbiased and just give the facts without their opinions. I'd want it to, them to be so unbiased that I wouldn't even know who they wanted to win the war. But, you know, by the way that they talk about it, it's obvious who they want to win. And there's a list of countries that won't even talk to the president of Ukraine. They did not vote to condemn Russia, and a lot of them didn't even show up to the meeting. Find one person at least that doesn't say the exact same thing, since half of the entire world apparently feels the opposite. They should. Somebody quoted a statistic that said 52% of French people agree with Russia. And who knows if that's right? It could be even more. Thank you.
All right, time for some sports this morning. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What this?
Wild offseason takes another turn. Tom Brady is back, but now his coach is the one who retired. Carolyn Mano has a Twitter award. Hey there. Hi. A wild offseason is getting crazier. The topic of this is very curious, especially because we're very upset at the point that he's coming back. Tom Brady was retired. Now he has stunned the football world by stepping down after three seasons as the club's head coach. While Arians may not be on the sidelines, he'll still be part of the team.
Nothing but still qualified for the World Cup, as far as I know.
A crowd of 91,553 on hand to watch Barcelona reach the semifinals of the Women's Champion League with a win over Real Madrid. So that broke the previous.
There's a goal differential on a couple games. It depends on a few things, but I think they pulled it off fairly.
China on penalties. And listen, we still don't know
they might have gotten a better seed if they could have won. They certainly would have had the momentum when going in.
To see Tiger tee it up.
Or tie, at least, or something.
He likes to prove people wrong. He likes to prove himself wrong, I think. And
The brackets are usually fairly even, I suppose.
Whether it's next week or a few weeks, or a few weeks down the line. He's a wonderful addition to the game. And the game felt better when he's playing and when he's playing well.
If he does play, it'll be nothing short of miraculous. He wasn't sure if he'd be able to.
See, I thought we were tied with Mexico. It's Canada and then.
Potentially in position to come back to the Masters.
And Costa Rica.
Everybody kind of waiting with bated breath here, guys. He can let us know on Thursday morning. There's no rush. Everybody excited. Video with
in the fourth place in our rows, I think he needs to win one more.
I
might have finished top three in those. Somehow.
Another new round of talks now scheduled between Russia and Ukraine and refugees in Ukraine.
I guess
looking for a way out. We're live just across the border in Poland next.
Nice if they would focus a little more on sports and stuff.
Organization.
Like, I need to see how many points a win is worth. Yeah, MSNBC does a little more sports.
Team USA only needed to avoid a loss of 6 goals or more last night to win this ticket. So a 2-0 defeat to Costa Rica was good enough to secure one of the 3 automatic berths. They backed no in, and that's fine. They're in along with group winner Canada and rival Mexico. It will be funded to the long river to November this year, later than usual. Turning down the NFL and a surprise move among the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization. The team announcing last night that head coach Bruce.
I don't know how they finished third with Costa Rica, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S.
has been replaced by
and Mexico won today.
Todd Bowles. After 3 years in the helm, Arians posts the highest win percentage of any coach in history.
Seconds to go on entering the draft.
Victory in Super Bowl 55 2 years ago, there were reports, though, what? Of some tension sounds last like season between Arians and the star quarterback, Tom Brady, who, of course, has just announced he will be returning.
Must be all four teams make it.
Bowles takes over for his second stint as NFL head coach after previously in the New York Jets for 4 seasons.
Because that's how a graphic showed that the U.S. was at the bottom of these four, tied.
And never made the playoffs.
That is strange that I had to watch the game on Paramount Plus. The U.S. game was not on any TV channel I could find, not on ESPN or ESPN2. But then the Mexico game was on TV. It's on like Univision. So at least there was a way to watch it, but it's unfortunate. It's got a, not everybody has that. Paramount Plus.
Now the NBA in San Antonio, where the Spurs missed an opportunity for a valuable victory over the Memphis Grizzlies, would have helped their play-in chances. The snow. Joseph!
Oh.
Which means, unfortunately, the Los Angeles Lakers at this moment are back in spot for the play-in game. And for the Grizzlies, the 112-111 win secures the Southwest Division title and clinches the number 2 seed in the Western Conference behind the Phoenix Suns. Now the action from Major League Baseball spring training. Slugger and the Bulls return to the plate as the Cardinals perform for the first time since 2011. There he is, he's taking over.
I see Pujols. I just signed Albert Pujols to my fantasy league. This is his last year. He didn't get that many at-bats last year, but if he would have played a full season, I think he would.
Which is expected to take the field against the New York Yankees in the Bronx opening day.
Instead of half,
from today,
he would have gotten about 40 home runs at that pace.
Has been named the opening day starter for the Royals 12 years after he started.
If he stays healthy, I would imagine they would try to play him a lot in his last year. But who knows?
This marks the
first year that the designated hitter has come to the National League.
The 38-year-old Walsh.
So it's kind of interesting that Pujols is his last year. First year now.
Because
a lot of older players tend to go to the DH, which used to be only in the American League.
Yeah, that's incredible. Hopefully it'll be a lot warmer than it's been in the Northeast for the last
few months.
And it was in like,
just in American League. So, National League's never been back until the World Series, until Interleague play. And then they started experiencing that over at their ballpark.
All right. Washingtonville, I will spread the
word. There we have it.
Washington Post finally joining the party years after it began. Quote, here's their headline.
Play something as shocking as this. I think it's interesting that he decided to take a minute, to just, you know, process it a little bit more.
Figure out what happened, what he wants to say about it.
Figure out what he wants to say in the right way on the time.
Absolutely. Here's to, the Academy, by the way, says it asked Will Smith to leave the Oscars.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He didn't. And they're now still investigating.
That was probably the right thing.
The news cycle is not over for this. And
I'm not writing them off.
I just have people drawing
them. Up next, the spies who now say Vladimir Putin massively misjudged the situation.
So they ask him to go
and spy. Bruce Willis says he is stepping away from
I think
action.
He would have accomplished the same thing if he would have just walked over there and screamed in his face. Or pushed him. Or... spit on him, throw a drink on him. You know, you didn't have to swing at him. And it still would have probably made the headlines and it wouldn't have cost him as much. Jimmy Kimmel, though, showed the prices on StubHub for Chris Rock's tour right now, and they were really expensive. So it's, I don't think it was planned. I just don't, by watching the footage real closely, I don't feel that it was planned, but either way, it could work out in his benefit if he gets some extra concert or, you know, ticket sales. Fox News is talking about Biden's laptop. I would be absolutely interested to talk about Biden's laptop. Some stories I just pass on. They have absolutely no effect on me or my life, no bearing on my life whatsoever. They just sound like gossip to me. They aren't fulfilling stories, they aren't helpful stories, they're enriching stories. It's just total crap. Maybe it's true. But who cares? There's all kinds of criminals out there. Maybe this guy's a criminal. Okay, he's a criminal. Are you shocked? Are you shocked? Look at jails. There's a lot of people in those jails. And it's funny how they've got like selective outrage and pearl clutching, and different little devices that they use to keep stuff in the news and criticize other people that don't want to talk about it forever and that just think it's stupid. But on the other hand, apparently they are investigating it. The government is doing an investigation. It sounds like what should be done if the FBI lost the laptop that they were given in 2019. A congressman apparently has the contents of that laptop on a flash drive. I don't know if it's legit or not, but he submitted it. So there we go. Great. It's funny. I don't know why these people think people want to hear about that nonsense. Or that some people don't want to hear about it. It's just I've got absolutely no opinion about it. I think I might be unique. Because I think they rely on people caring about it or getting upset about it. And I'm just upset that you waste my time with it. That's all I'm upset about. Energy Independence Open. Some old lady getting out of a truck. Paid for by Energy Citizens, America's Natural Gas and Oil. CNN sucks. Can you believe that? I should ask, like, Bill Weir how he justifies that. Because he's one of the climate reporters at CNN and go, well, if you care about the climate so much, then how come they pay you with ads for coal and gas? Fossil fuels that cause the climate change.
The chief Ukrainian negotiator says talks with Russia will resume tomorrow. Meantime, atop the British intelligence official claims that Vladimir Putin, quote, massively misjudged the situation in Ukraine. International diplomatic editor Nick Robertson, live in Brussels. Nick, what's a reasonable expectation for these talks then?
Ukraine negotiations with Russia are set to resume April 1st. It's because in Brussels, Belgium.
So I think the expectations for this sort of resumption of these negotiations, virtual resumption, after a sort of a couple of days pause from what was laid out by the Ukrainians on Tuesday, that the expectations should therefore be low. And the understanding of what Russia's ability to make good decisions is also reduced by what we've heard from the head of the KGCHQ, the Russian equivalent of USNSC, Jeremy Fleming, saying that the Russian forces were low on morale, low on equipment, even sabotaged their own equipment so they wouldn't have to go and fight, and mistakenly, that one of them shooting down one of their own aircraft. So it's not clear that Russia can make a good judgment on what to do next, that it is very clear that they're unlikely to go to Ukraine, so as I say, expectations should be moderated. John?
Yeah, he was skeptical at best. Nick Robertson in Brussels. Nick, thank you very much. More than 4 million Ukrainians have fled this country since the Russian invasion began. Tens of thousands arrive every day at a train station just over the border in Poland. CNN's Salma Abdelaziz live for us in Chumshell. Salma, tell us what you're seeing there.
Absolutely. So it's this train station that families, hundreds of them, flow through every day. And I just want to give you a look, John. People behind me in my ribbed jackets, they're here to give you the help you need if you have any questions. The reception point, I'm just going to show you down this way. This is a hallway that's basically a waiting area, John, because people don't know what they're going to do next. They don't know where they're going to go. And one of those people is Dasha. I just want to introduce you to her. John, we just met. And Dasha, you came from Kharkiv, where there's heavy bombing. Tell me about your 6 days in the shelter in Kharkiv.
We're going to us very little. I was very scared because they sound very scared sounds. My really nice part of this year now is green. It's about 840 years. No store, no school, no hospital. People can't buy food. People didn't need the shelter, and I was given a shelter.
Here.
and then they just can't figure out where they go next. They have no plan. They're calling friends. They're trying to find a place. That's why you see so many of them just sitting here in this train station, trying to make a plan.
Imagine traveling over 1,000 miles, getting to that train station, and still not knowing where you're going. Solomon, thank you very much for that. I want to bring in Vladislav Davidson, an Atlantic Council Fellow and author of From Odessa with Love. Vladislav, it's great to see you again. I haven't had a chance to talk to you in a while. One of the things that I've seen here in Ukraine, which is fascinating, is enormous pride with how the Ukrainian forces are doing against the Russians.
Some people that are fleeing look like they've got more money than other people that are fleeing. Some of them are in shelters, some of them are train stations, some of them are at hotels.
That
makes sense.
The majority of the population are now.
Everybody has the same amount of resources.
In terms of their psychology, I think 80%, or maybe 90% of the population is deeply convinced that they're going to win. And at this rate, unless the Russians start dropping nukes or something, or really close to bombing cities, I just don't see what it is that they can do to win as well. So the population really thinks that why should we be making tremendous sacrifices when we're winning? And there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Zelensky administration to get them to not make certain concessions. They're going to actually have plebiscites of some sort or popular elections or whatever in order to get buy-in for anything that is really difficult that they'll have to sacrifice or give up. That's not going to be easy for them.
If this war settles into a situation, a battle of attrition, say, or focuses on the east where there's been fierce fighting for a long time, but it will continue, what kind of pressure, real life pressure, will that put on the Ukrainian people?
Well, 4 million people are out of the country.